We continue the shiur in Nach. Ksuvim, shiur in Daniel. Today's shiur is, in a sense, a historic one, because it is a conclusion, a siyum, on Nevi'im and Ksuvim. We've had some extensive shiurim. This is the 54th shiur of this series, and with this we conclude to make a siyum on Nach. Of course, after this shiur, there will be a new type of shiurim, which will be discussed later on. Today's shiur, a siyum, is one that should be celebrated properly, because especially those who are here for the first time can reap the benefit of all the past shiurim. Those who come to a siyum receive the credit for having learned the entire item. You are still welcome to partake in the rest of the shiurim. They are all on tape. Now, for the sake of those who have not been here for the past few shiurim, we are on the topic of Daniel. Daniel in Ksuvim deals with a very unusual item, extremely unusual. It's called the most secretive item known or unknown, the time of the Ketz. The Ketz means the moment of Mashiach's coming. This is the only place where the time is revealed, yet it is revealed in code. To this day, no one has yet broken the code and reported it. There may have been some who have broken it, but kept it to themselves. However, we will try to delve into it as much as we can, and we'll leave the rest to each one's emunah, faith, which is the actual key to the coming of Mashiach. The closing chapter of Daniel deals with the time of the end of the first exile. Golus, after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, this was the third year, the reign of King Koresh of Persia. Daniel tells that he had fasted for a period of 21, either days or years. There is a conflicting opinion about this. Rashi HaKadosh says he fasted for 21 years. That would mean that he fasted every day except Shabbos, Ben Shabbos LeShabbos, which is a very extensive fast period. Others say that it was for 21 days. When a person fasts for an extended period of time, his body becomes as purified, as pure as his neshama, as his soul. And therefore, he is like a malach, an angel in certain respects. And for this reason, at the end of that period, there appeared to him a vision, an angel. And Daniel describes this angel as best as can be described in a physical sense. He said he was overawed by seeing this figure, tall figure, dressed in white linen, girded with a belt of pure gold. His torso was 2,000 parsa, that's about 8,000 miles, made of a very expensive blue stone, precious stone. His face lit up like a lightning bolt. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and legs were like shining copper. And his voice was the roar of a crowd. When Daniel saw this, he fell forward upon his face in fright. Daniel's three friends, who were the three prophets at that time, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, did not see it. They could not see this vision. They were not great enough to see it, but they sensed it. And in fright and fear, they fled. Daniel alone remained, and in fear and fright, he too fell forward upon his face. The Zayin HaKadosh stresses a point here. If we need a description, an explanation of the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu compared to all other prophets, we can see it here. Daniel, a holy person, greater than the prophets in his time, saw an angel. This was the angel of Malach Gabriel. He saw this angel, and in fright he fell to the ground. This was only an angel, one of Hashem's angels. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Zayin HaKadosh says, did not see an angel. He spoke directly to the Creator, the Master of Angels, to Hashem himself. And there was no falling forward. He did not fall into a trance, into a semi-sleep. He did not have to bow. He stood erect and spoke directly to Hashem and received the words of Hashem directly to in full consciousness. No other prophet in existence was able to perform this. This was the superiority of Moshe Rabbeinu over all other prophets. Now, the Torah says, Daniel fell down, the Malach came forward, the Malach Gabriel, and he raised him up to a standing position. The Malach spoke to Daniel first. He said to him, I came to you because of the power of your fasting. You fasted so long that I came to you to notify you, to inform you about the future of history, the history of this world, specifically the history of the Jewish people. The reason that I was delayed until now, the Malach Gabriel said, is because there is a guardian angel over all nations. The guardian angel of Persia in the heavenly court demanded the right to keep the Jews enslaved to him, to possess the power of the Jews for a prolonged period. And for this, this angel Gabriel said, I battled against this angel guardian of Persia for a period of 21 days until finally the Malach, the angel Michael, came to me and assisted me in defeating this guardian angel of Persia. Now I have come to you. Daniel pleaded with this Malach to give him strength, to remove some of the fear and fright from him. This the Malach Gabriel did. He strengthened him, and he said, now I will tell you some of the future events that will take place. First, the fact is that when Bavel, the kingdom of Bavel, fell, when it was overtaken by the kingdom of Persia, so we fought. We, that means the good angels, fought in heaven, argued the point in the heavenly court to rescue the Jews from too much suffering. We tried our best, and of course we succeeded now that the kingdom of Persia is a good kingdom and will allow the Jews to return to Israel to build the second Beis HaMikdash. Now, as to the future, the ultimate future. After the king Dariavish will rule over Persia, there will rise up the Greek Empire, headed by Alexander the Great. That is, Alexander the Great, head of the Persian and future Greek Empire. And he will conquer, take over Persia for the Greeks. He will eventually rule over the entire world, the entire globe. In fact, the Gemara says he will try even to reach up to heaven too. As the Gemara tells us, Alexander the Great was the first person to physically orbit the earth, much before the present-day scientific geniuses. This is quite a while back. He orbited himself, and he describes the actual trip. But when Alexander the Great will reach his height, he will suddenly die, and his kingdom will be divided into four sections. Then, the strongest of those four will be known as the King of the North. That is the king of the Greek, the balance of the Greek Empire. The king of the south will be the Egyptian emperor, and there will be a constant battle between these two. The king of the south will overpower the king of the north for a small period of time, and then the princess, the king of the south's daughter, will come to the king of the north and plead with him to make peace, to stop this bloody battle. Instead of accepting her properly, the king of the north will capture her, take her captive. Her father, the king of the south, will then beg the northern king to marry his daughter and thereby make peace. The northern king will marry her and then declare war, attack the king of the south, and destroy most of the southern kingdom. Sometime later, the prince, the son of the southern king, will go out to avenge his father's honor, and he will succeed in defeating the king of the north. Then this, of course, all takes place over different eras, different periods of time. Then Antiochus, the Greek king, will descend to Egypt, will conquer the land of Egypt, and while doing so, will also attempt to conquer, not physically, but spiritually, destroy the spirit of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. The Hashmonaim will defeat him. Note, these words are all actual predictions of what did take place later on. But the angel continued, Ichashmono will not rule for too long a period because of a lack of peace among themselves. Finally, there will rise up a new kingdom, the Roman kingdom, which will be the lowest type, the most immoral type of kingdom, and they will destroy the Greek Empire completely. They will make a treaty with the Jews, but being the low type of people they are, along the lines of Amalek, the Satan himself is called a Roman, which means the base of lies, deceit. They will break their treaty with the Jews, and they will attack first the kingdom of Egypt. The Romans will conquer Alexandria and remove all the treasures from Egypt, the vast wealth that Egypt will possess at that time. The Nile at that time will be extreme wealth. They'll bring all this wealth to Rome. Then they will attempt to defeat the Jews in Israel, the land of Israel. They will have one king after the other until King Titus himself in Russia will come to Jerusalem, and he will destroy the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, and destroy, raise the city of Jerusalem. And then he will return back to Rome, where he will meet his downfall. He will have a very sorry ending, as the Gemara describes in the last days of King Titus. In addition, from that moment on, the Roman Empire will begin a steady decline until it is wiped out itself. Now, the Malach Gavriel said, we go ahead past this entire period. That is known as the period of the Golos after the second Beis HaMikdash. The length of that Golos, the length of that exile, which we are still experiencing now, he said, we'll leave that out for a moment. We come now to the time of Moshiach's coming. At that time, when it should be the happiest moment in history for the Jews, will instead be the saddest moment, the most troublesome, the most torturous, and the greatest problems will beset the Jewish people because of the vast extent of the war, the global war that will take place at that time. The greatest suffering will be endured by the Jews, though other nations will be involved. And then Michael, who is the Malach of Chesed, of kindness, will stand before Hashem and plead the cause of the Jews until the Jews will be rescued. There will be two Mashiachs, the first Mashiach ben Yosef, the second Mashiach ben David. That is what they are called. And of course, the reason is that since Yaakov Avinu had two wives, Rachel and Leah, there had to come forth a Mashiach from both. However, the Mashiach coming forth from Rachel, Mashiach ben Yosef, will be the general in battle, and he will be killed in this battle by the evil leader, General Armilus. We don't know the name of that person yet, right now, but obviously, since Mashiach's coming is imminent, it will be revealed. In addition, the Zedek Kodesh speaks about this, and the Arizal especially stresses time and again that in order to save, to possibly save the life of Mashiach ben Yosef, it is possible, he says, that Mashiach ben Yosef will not be killed, because throughout all these centuries, there were great tzaddikim who accepted upon themselves a great deal of yisurim, a lot of suffering, and their kavana, their intention was for the sake of saving the life of Mashiach ben Yosef. So there is that possibility that this will not take place. We cannot say, of course, for sure. Oh, the Rizal said that in the bracha Shiva Shoftenu, you can have kavana for that, to save Mashiach ben Yosef. Now, this is, of course, temporary. After, in the words of the prophet, after the passing, the death of Mashiach ben Yosef, then Mashiach ben David will take over and will reign supreme as king of the Jews and naturally king over the world. His name, of course, is not Mashiach. The word Mashiach means the anointed one. His name, the Gemara says, is Menachem. After Mashiach's coming, there will be a period in between Mashiach's coming and the ultimate time known as Techiyas HaMesim. Techiyas HaMesim, we have reviewed that extensively in our Shir and Gemara, when the tzaddikim, the righteous ones who have passed away, will be resurrected. They'll come back to life with the body being as pure, enjoying the same pleasures as the soul does presently in Gan Eden, paradise. At that time, though, the Moach Ariel said, continued, Chiyas HaMesim, when they'll come back to life, there will be the evil ones that will come back to life too. And they will come back to life only to see a sorry sight for themselves of what they are missing. The worst type of suffering is to see the tzaddikim enjoying the Gan Eden type of life and then to have to be obliterated, to be erased. This will take place at the time of Tchias HaMesim, when there will be a new judgment then as to who will remain alive and to who will go back to sorrow and disgrace. This, the Moach spoke, said finally, you, Daniel, ought to seal this item as a secret. For yourself, keep it a secret and do not reveal it. Suddenly, two other angels appeared, and one of them asked Gabriel, the chief angel, when will this time be? When is this case? When is the end of this suffering period, the end of the Golos? And Gabriel raised his hands heavenwards in a sort of a tefillah, a prayer, and he said, after one era, that's Edon, and two eras of time, and a half era, which means 3.5 eras will pass. The length of that time we have discussed at length in our Gemara Shiurim. For those who attended both Shiurim, the Navi and Gemara, we happen to have come to the same topic. We're in the Gemara Chelek Sanhedrin, which speaks about this topic. We've discussed it there, so it can be much more easily understood now. Because Daniel asked now, what is the meaning of these words? And the Malach replied, seal my words, keep them secret, and I predict to you now, exactly as Rabbeinu Zal said too, I predict there will come a time when great numbers of Jews will search through these words, will attempt to study them in depth to discover the time, the exact time, mathematical figures determining the exact time of Mashiach's coming, and they will arrive at false conclusions. And for this, they'll be led into sin. They will lose their faith, Chas V'Shalom, because they will figure, according to their figure, Mashiach is supposed to come at a certain time. He will not appear then, and they will lose belief, faith in the Torah, faith in the coming of Mashiach. The tzaddikim, the righteous ones, will maintain their emunah throughout. And therefore, the Gemara says, as we learned, that it is a serious crime, a sin for anyone to try to figure out mathematically the time of Mashiach's coming, because the result will be he'll make a mistake. This can lead him into a loss of faith, Chas V'Shalom. Now, despite this, there is one more statement made by Gabriel, the Malach, and here it would pay to repeat one item that we have had in the Gemara Shir, because it pertains to us so directly. The last words of the Moach Gabriel, last words, in fact, last sentences of the Navi Daniel, is when the Moach said that there will come the Churba, the destruction of the second base of Mikdash, and then there will be a period of suffering, which means the Golos. And this suffering will be for a period of 1,290 years, which would seem to mean that that is the extent of the Golos. Of course, now we're close to 2,000 years in Golos. So this bears explanation. Now, as we know, we learned this in the Gemara, Hashem created this world to last for exactly 6,000 years. These 6,000 years are divided into three parts. First 2,000 years are called the Alpayim Shel Tohu, which means 2,000 years when there was no Torah on earth, and the world was comparatively a void. Just a few select tzaddikim who lived then, individuals, but there was no Jewish people, no Jewish nation with the Torah. The next 2,000 years, that means till the year 4,000, they're called the Alpayim Shel Teda, 2,000 years of Teda. The last 2,000 years, from the year 4,000 until the end of time, till the year 6,000, these are called the Alpayim Shel Moshiach, 2,000 years of Moshiach, which means that Moshiach may come any time within these 2,000 years. Now, We know that from the year 4000 on, a lot of time has elapsed. But this would mean to imply that 1,290 years after the first possible date of Mashiach's coming, that is the time for the coming of Mashiach. Now, this statement, of course, that would set it at the year 5,290. Today is the year 5,735. A lot of time has passed since then. So to make this item still clearer, let's review what we've learned in the Gemara. The Gemara says that Mashiach will come in the year 5,291, 1 year later, 5,291. Zayin HaKodesh goes into this too in detail and explains the words in this sentence and the words in the Gemara. They cannot be taken literally. The wording 291 means something else entirely. First, Zayin HaKodesh says that the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash was because of the sins of the Jews. And as the Pasuk says in Chumash, Hashem punishes seven times for a sin. Seven times corresponding to the 7 days of the week. Now since the Torah itself is called Chaf Beis, 22 letters, the 22 sacred letters of the Torah, which comprise every word in the Torah, seven times 22, which is 154, multiplied by the 10 levels of holiness, of Sphira, gives us 1,540. Zohar Kodesh says, therefore, the punishment that Hashem is going to eke out to the Jews during the time of Golus totals 1,540 years of exile, which means that from the year 4000 add 1540, you have the year 5,540, which would be the time that the Golus would end. The Tikkun Isaiah says, to explain this number still more clearly, when the Malach Gabriel said, Elef, Osayim Tishim, Elef is 1,000, Osayim Tishim 290. Tikkun Isaiah says there was a secret in that word. Elef does not mean 1,000, Elef means 1. The letter Aleph is 1 and 290, which gives us actually 291. Now, as we know, Tikkun Isaiah says that there are, time itself is divided into machzorim, cycles. Our time, the Jews judge time by the cycles of the moon. The moon has its individual cycle of 29 days, 12 hours, and 793, 1,080ths of an hour each month. A new moon is born every month after this 29 and a half days approximately. The moon itself, though, in its longest cycle, has a 19-year period, 19 years in which it revolves and meets up with the same pattern as the sun after a period of 19 years. We judge our years correspondingly, and in every 19-year cycle, we have a lunar leap year, which means a year of 13 months, Adar Sheni, the second month of Adar, 7 years out of each 19-year cycle. To be exact, each 19-year cycle, the third, the sixth, the eighth, the 11th, the 14th, 17th, and 19th year, are leap years, Shnasa Ibor. Now these 19-year cycles is how we determine time. The Tikkun Zohar says that when the Malach said 1,200, that is 1,290, 1 plus 290, 291, that means 291 lunar cycles. You multiply 291 times 19, you then arrive at the figure 5,529, which is very close to the 5,540. Why this figure? The Zohar Kodesh says as follows. How do we arrive at 291? Because the Pasuk says, Titein emes le'yakev. Titein, Hashem will give, eventually, emes, truth, le'yakev, to the Jews. Truth means a true kingdom. A true one is one that is eternal. The word emes is aleph, mem, tuf, which stands for aleph, mem is mosayim, tuf is tishim. 290, total of 291, 291 cycles. We know that Yaakov is the name for the moon. In fact, the so-called face of the man of the moon, as Zohar Kodesh says, is the face of Yaakov Avinu. The Gemara Chul says that Yaakov is called Yaakov HaKotan, the small. Why is he called the smaller brother? Because he is like the moon, the smaller sphere compared to the sun. We find too, as Zohar Kodesh says, that the Pasuk, Lodaas Bo'aretz Darkecha. to know of Hashem in the world. When Mashiach comes, Hashem will be recognized as Hashem by all nations. The word Oretz, again, Aleph 1, Resh Tzadik 290, that's 291, again, the same thing. To put these two together, the Zohar Kodesh says, we find the Pasuk, Emes Me Eretz Titzmach, truth shall come forward from the earth. You have the word Emes and Eretz in the same Pasuk. Titzmach, Tav means future, Semach. Semach is Moshiach. Semach is Begimatria Menachem, which is the name of Moshiach. Est Semach David Avdachem Eretz Tzmiach, some of the Moshiach ben David. So this pasuk tells us that Titzmach, Moshiach will come, Emes Me Eretz, in the year, in the cycles, totaling 291. Now, the Tikkun Hazayah says that we find, though, in both cases, there is an additional base. Vadas Bo'aretz Darkecha, it says, not just Aretz, but Bo'aretz, base, two more. That means two more years must be added to this figure. And Chol Asheik Ruhu Be'emes, Hashem is close to those who call him Be'emes, the letter Be'ez again. To show us that we must add 2 years to this Cheshbon, and the 2 years added to 5529 gives us 5,531 years shall pass before the Moshiach will come. Moshiach seemingly has not come then. And yet the truth is, the fact is, that the Moshiach is represented by the Tzadik Emes. Rabbeinu Zal was born on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Nisan, 5,532, exactly corresponding to the words of the Tikkun Hazayah. Rabbeinu Zal has brought forth a heavenly light of tshuva and Torah and hizbodedus and purity and a desire to serve Hashem much closer, a kind of a light that Mashiach will bring. And therefore we find many cases in the story of Rabbeinu Zal that will be brought out in the future. To mention this point now, the next set of Shi'urim will deal with the life of Rabbeinu Zal and the sayings. We have the Sefer Shvochei Harana Sichas Haran. We have it in English now, Rabbi Nachman's Wisdom. We'll have Shi'urim on that with elaboration on the details. Now, the final sentence to close this point, the Siyum on Daniel, it's obvious that the exact date of Mashiach's coming is certainly hidden here. No one can actually see it, except that, as the Torah says, when Mashiach finally does come, every child will look into Daniel and read the words and say, why couldn't I have gotten it? It's so simple, it's so clear. Yet that will be after Mashiach comes, and we'll become wise. We'll see it then. However, the last sentence in Daniel, to really make things difficult, to add confusion, the Malach closes with these words. After Mashiach comes, there will be a period of disappearance by Mashiach, and those who will wait for him, those who will have faith and wait, will merit seeing the return of Mashiach permanently. This period of disappearance will be for 45 years. And this, of course, conflicts with the statement known throughout that after Mashiach's coming, there'll be a 40-year period until Tchiyas HaMeisim. Why, in this case, 45 years? Why the additional 5 years? There is no comment, no commentary on this. And that's why the words are there, Ashrei HaMechakelo, Ashrei to that person who waits. Waits without going into these figures at all. Those who have the true emunah and true faith will deserve to see the coming of Mashiach, will deserve to live at a time when there will be so great a celebration, an incomparable simcha. As the Gemara says that we speak about our holidays, Pesach, Saman Cheruseinu, Chag HaSukkah, Saman Simcha Seinu, a time of extreme joy. And all these joys will fade away in comparison to the extreme bliss, happiness, the ecstasy that will take place when Mashiach comes. But this to those who deserve it. And of course, the primary requirement in deserving and meriting seeing Mashiach is that faith. Remember, as Rabbeinu Zal said, remember that sentence in the Navi, Yehoyoli Eis Erev Yehiyah Er, that when we see things turn dark, turned black, turned sad for the Jewish nation, for the Jewish people, when we see an entire world go mad in its drive to eradicate, to wipe out the Jews as a people or as a nation, without any logic or reason, without any reason for their hatred, and things seem to turn black, that is the time when you are certain to see, to realize the coming of Mashiach. Oyeli Eserev, Mashiach will come when it will turn dark in the evening. Then Yehiye Or, then the great light will come that will illuminate the blackness of the Golos and exile. This is the final sentence of Navi. This is the closing of the Siyam, and it is customary that in making a Siyam, whether it's on Chumash or Gemara or Navi 2, that you always combine the last words of the Sefer with the first words. When we finish reading the Chumash on Simchas Torah, the Enei Kol Yisrael, the last three words of the Torah, we go back to Bereshis immediately. And throughout, we find the connection between these words, Bereshis Enei Kol Yisrael. The Lev, the heart, the first letter of the Torah being Beis, the last letter being Lamed, a heart that is required, Achmon Aliba Boy, Hashem desires the heart. And this Achmon Aliba Boy, of course, Reish Lamed Beis, is the combinations of the four main names of Hashem. The Av, Sag, Ma'bon, combined as Reish Lamed Beis, which makes up those words, Hashem desires the heart. The same thing too applies with the Gemara song. In this case, in the Navi, we want to combine these two to show that there is a connection between the end. We spoke about Daniel's vision with the Malach, discussing the coming of Mashiach. What is the purpose of Mashiach's coming? First rule is, Mashiach will perform the act of Kibbutz Golias. He will assemble all the Jews throughout the world who are in Golis and bring them back to their land, Eretz Yisrael, which belongs to Am Yisrael. The beginning of Navi, first words are when Hashem spoke to Yeshua. When the Jews were still in the Midbar, in the desert, immediately after the passing of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem said to Yeshua, the same words, you are going to leave this exile of Mitzrayim in the desert, you're going into Eretz Yisrael. You are going to lead the Jews, the entire Jewish nation, into Eretz Yisrael. The Zohar to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. But how? Through what power? Not your own power. The fact that you are the main disciple, the Talmud Muvhak, the closest one to Moshe Rabbeinu. You were Zohar to be his Talmud, his Mishamish Bakudish. You served him most. Therefore, you are the most fitting one to bring the Jews into Eretz Yisrael. And that is what Moshe Rabbeinu says about Mashiach. The Zohar HaKadosh says that in the Aleph Beis itself, in fact, in the first letter of the Aleph Beis, we find most of the secrets, heavenly secrets found there. We're not going into any depth, so don't be frightened, but we've mentioned this previously. The letters of the Aleph Beis are all sacred and all contain secrets. For example, the letter Aleph itself, first letter, which is the first letter that starts the Aseres Hadibros, the Ten Commandments, that letter itself contains Hashem's name. Because the picture of the Aleph is a Yud on top, a Vav following that, in the diagonal form, and then a Yud on bottom. Yud is 10 and Vav is 6. You have two Yuds and one Vav, that's a total of 26, which is the total of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Zohar HaKadosh says too that the letter Vav of Hashem's name, which stands for the Torah, it's the shape of the Luchos, is also represented by Moshe Rabbeinu. He is the letter of Vav. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in this letter Aleph, holding on to, attached to him are these two Yuds. These two are both Mashiachs. Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David will come with Moshe Rabbeinu, which means that as great as Mashiach will be, as powerful a king as he will be, as powerful a ruler who will rule forever afterwards, he will still need the leadership, the guidance, the knowledge, the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Then and forever afterwards, the rabbi of all Jews, Rabbeinu, will be Moshe Rabbeinu. And with this closeness, with this close attachment to Moshe Rabbeinu, this will be the zchus with which he'll be able to lead the Jews out of Golis into Eretz Yisrael, and there to continue on with the mitzvah of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash has two purposes. One, of course, is to offer sacrifices to Hashem, the reason for a korban, a sacrifice, the word korban, why is it called a korban? Why is it called basically shlomim, the main sacrifice? Because shlomim means that it makes peace between the Jews and Hashem. That's a peace offering. When a Jew brings a korban chatos, korban for a sin, because he has sinned, he has estranged himself from Hashem, he wants to come back, the korban chatos forgives, erases his sin, he is now taken back into the good graces of Hashem. So the word korban means the karev, to bring close. It brings closer the Jews to Hashem if they had become estranged. This is one purpose for the Beis HaMikdash. The second purpose is, the primary reason is, that in the Lishkas HaGozes, which means at the very entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, there is a special office, and there sit in session the Sanhedrin, which means the lawgivers, the chief rabbis of the Jews who reside there in this Lishkas HaGozes, and from there come forth all the important rules, regulations, laws that determine and decide any question in Hebrew law. So the purpose for building the Beis HaMikdash is not just for the Kabbonos, but because there only is fulfilled the Pasuk Ki Mitzion Tetzei Seira. From Tzion, from Yerushalayim, from the Beis HaMikdash comes forth the Torah for all Jews. What is most important, the Ben Adal says, in reference to that, is that today, until this time, one of the main reasons that we have dissension among ourselves, very sadly, very tragically, because if there was peace among us, we would have Mashiach a long time ago. One of the main reasons for it is the fact that even in matters of Kedusha, of holiness and Torah, we have a lot of conflict, a lot of debate, a lot of controversy. Even in the Gemara, the Gemara is filled with debate among rabbis of the Gemara, who all speak the word of Hashem. To us, there seems to be debate. Of course, the word of Hashem is only one. In the Shulchan Aruch, the code of law, we find too debate among the Peskim, among the rabbis of the Shulchan Aruch. There seems to be no common meeting ground. There always has to be a continuation of this debate where some agree with one side, some with the other. To this day, we have different sects, different leaders. There is no such thing today as a chief rabbi whose word is accepted by everyone. That does not exist today at all. Each sect feels their rabbi is the greatest, the leader. They'll follow his bidding, but not the bidding of others. This is the greatest accomplishment of Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, then there will be complete peace, not just in the world, that's secondary, complete peace among the Jews themselves. Ki Mitzion Tetzei Seira, Mitzion will come forth Teira. He will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and there have the Lishkas HaGozes, where from there will come forth one set of dinim, one set of laws for every single Jew. There will be no more conflict, no more debates, no more questions. Any question that arises will be determined only from the source, and all Jews will be guided and will follow that one decision. This is the Shulchan Aruch that will be written by Mashiach. Of course, it is understood that Shulchan Aruch will be edited, will be guided by Mashiach's Rebbe, who is our Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu. So there will be one to determine, one to decide all laws, and that is the main purpose, the main accomplishment of Mashiach, to bring peace among the Jews, where automatically it will bring peace between the Jews and Hashem. This joyous era that we know is imminent, is momentary, is coming now, needs a little prodding. It needs the cooperation of every single Jew. And we are not to think that there were such great tzaddikim in the past, so much infinitely greater than us, and all their tefillahs and all their prayers did not bring Mashiach. How could our prayers, which are so tiny, infinitesimal compared to them, bring Mashiach? The answer is that it is not dependent upon the greatness of the Jew, but upon the sincerity and the accumulation of credits. So though our prayers are very small compared to them, but our prayers are not alone. Our prayers are added to the vast mountains of tefillahs and tears that were shed by these great tzaddikim. Until the proper amount, the proper number is amassed, accumulated, and then we have the coming of Mashiach. We are certain, we are confident, we have emunah, strong faith, that right now is the time for Mashiach's coming. As we said, a little more encouragement on our part we will put our heart into it a little more strongly, more kavana, to say our tefillahs with more intensity, begging, pleading for the coming of Mashiach, the emes, with all our kavana, then we will surely merit realizing the actually seeing Mashiach's coming. We should be zecher now to fulfill the predictions of the tzaddikim, prediction of the Torah, that Mashiach will definitely come. Ashrei mechakelei. No matter how much there has been a delay until now, one thing is sworn true. Mashiach will come. His coming is imminent now. We should be zecher to see the coming of Mashiach, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, see this with our eyes, when the true glory of the Jews will come to light, with Hashem as the supreme ruler of the world. Kil Hashem Amlucha, Meheda, Amen, V'Yamein.
Amen. Amen. Amen.